Hey, you're so welcome to Open Arms Church. My name is Sean Booth, and today we're launching our new Christmas series. You know, everyone seems to be putting up their Christmas tree early this year, so why don't we start off our series early? You know, what do you think? Is it too early to be putting your Christmas tree up? Have you already put your Christmas tree up? Let us know in the comments section. We'd love to hear from you. But our series this year is titled Hope on the Horizon. Hope on the horizon. You know, this year, many have been left feeling hopeless or with less hope than ever before. You know, we believe that Christmas is all about celebrating the hope that is Jesus Christ. It's about proclaiming and believing that in Him, hope is found. Hope is on the way. Hope is on the horizon. You know, maybe you've been left feeling beaten and broken down and burdened. But do you know what? You are not defeated. You are not finished. You may feel like this year has swallowed up all the hope that you have, leaving you feeling anxious and alone and fearful. I want to declare into your life, hope is on the way. Hope is on the horizon. If you're watching with me and on Facebook, please take a moment, just hit the share button and share this hope with your world. Also, if you're watching on YouTube, just hit the like button. It helps us get the word out. But I'd love to hear from you. Our team are online, ready to hear from you. Comment, shout with me, say amen if you're with me, as we're going to dive into our scripture today that is found in Luke chapter 15. You know, many are familiar with the series of stories found in this chapter, but today I'd love for you just to give me your full and undivided attention. If you're watching and on the TV, maybe just put your phone away for a moment. If you're watching on your phone or your tablet, just press the full screen button, set it back, grab a journal, grab a pen, and together let's dive into this scripture today to hear what God wants to say to us. So we see in Luke chapter 15, verse 1, really, this begins setting the context of the scene of the story that we're about to hear. It says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, the religious zealots, were standing by. They were muttering, saying, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.' Jesus, observing what was going on around him, hearing and seeing what they're saying and the disgust that they have, he begins to tell three parables or three stories. The first is the lost sheep. You know, out of a 100 sheep, one sheep rambles and becomes lost. And so the shepherd leaves the 99 behind and he goes to find the one. This showing us that the one is just as important as the many. The second story that he tells is the lost coin. A woman had 10 coins. She loses one in her kitchen. She scrambles everywhere to find it, and she finds it. Then she throws a party, partying. This is the same that God celebrates, even one sinner who repents. Then Jesus shares with us the third story. This is the story of the lost son. And in this is probably one of the most told stories in the Bible. And Jesus begins, we see in Luke 15, verse 11, he begins to tell the story, and he says, "There once was a man who had two sons. He had a younger son and an older son. And the younger son came to his father and he said, 'I want my inheritance now. I don't want to wait until you've died. I want what's coming to me now.' So the father agrees and he goes and he divides up his property and his wealth, and he gives to both the younger son and the older son their share. And so what happens next is the young son decides to pack up, go on his way, leave and go and find what he's looking for. Whether that's freedom and independence, whether that's just to be known and to make a name for himself, or maybe it's just to go and find himself, to go and to have fun, to go and do what he wants to do, what so many of us have done or have a desire to do. And so when he finally finds what he's been looking for, he goes all in. He spends all of his inheritance. He goes all in. And one translation says that he wasted it. He wasted all of his inheritance without any discipline or self-control. What happened was he lived in the moment without any regard for his future. He decided to follow his way. He decided to follow the way of the world. What is the way of the world? The way of the world is to say, Do what you want. Do whatever makes you happy. It's your choice. Do whatever you feel like. Follow your feelings, regardless of the impact that it might have on your future. The Lord says, follow my ways, and I will lead you towards blessing and towards favor. So after he wasted all of his money, at the time, a bad famine had struck the land that he was living in, so he had no way of finding work. So what he did is he traveled around to find some form of welfare, and he found a job in a farm as a pig feeder, literally a pig feeder, feeding pigs. And so he became so hungry that he wanted to eat what he was feeding the pigs, but the farmer wouldn't let him. You know you've hit rock bottom when you're out to eat pig slop. Like, that's what you're eating for dinner. And so he was finally at the end of himself. He was finally just broken down, beaten down, feeling completely lost and helpless, feeling completely in a place of depression, feeling in a place of despair with no hope on the horizon. And so we pick up in verse 17. The story takes a turn. And it says, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. So he comes to a place of repentance. He decides to turn around, to go back home, to go back to his father. He says in verse 19, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So here we see that he left as a son. He'd left full of hope, and he's been left hopeless. Now he's ready to go back as a servant. Now he's ready to start at the bottom without any honor, without any privilege. In verse 20, so he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. Now this for me is one of the most incredible parts of the story. It shows us that the father was waiting for his son. The father was watching out for him. He was waiting for his son's return. So what did he do? Well, he says his father saw him and he was filled with compassion. And he ran to his son. He threw his arms around him and he kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. And I want to speak into your life today. I want to speak over your life that hope is on the horizon. You see, the father was waiting and watching every day to see when his boy was going to come home, hoping that one day he might just look out and he sees his boy on the horizon. And I want to encourage you. The Lord knows who you have been waiting for. The Lord knows what you have been watching out for. He knows that you have been spending your days wondering, when is it going to happen? And I want to encourage you, there will come a day and there will come a time that what you have been waiting for and what you have been watching out for will come into your horizon. It will come into your eyes view. It may still be in the distant. It may still seem a ways off, but you almost need to squeeze your eyes to see it. But when it comes into your eye line, when it comes into your horizon, you will see it and you will know that this is going to change everything forever. You will know when you see that everything is about to change. You will know that provision is on its way. Peace is on its way. Security is on its way. Purpose is on its way. Freedom is on its way. Joy is on its way. What you have been hoping for is on the horizon. You know, for each of us, we have an experience just like the sun. You know, have you ever done something really bad? Like, you messed up, you made a mistake, whether when you were a child or a teenager or an adult. The age is irrelevant, because honestly, it's kind of like the same humbling feeling and the feeling of shame and guilt that grips you when you need to come to your mom or your dad and tell them what you've done. You know, I've got three young boys, 2, 4, and 6, and I've had lots of experience in this area in recent years. And one of my boys, when they know that they've done something that they shouldn't have done, there's a different response, a different level of response according to the gravity of the situation. You know, the first response is for them just to approach me with their head down. It's the open and honest response and approach of saying, "Daddy, I made a mistake. I messed up." The second approach is when they come running, wailing towards me, screaming, shouting, saying, "Daddy, I'm so sorry." But then there's the response and the approach that's kind of left for the worst times, when you know something bad has happened. It's the time when you find what's happened, whether it's a complete mess in the kitchen, whether it's one of the other younger sons who's been left on their own with a big gash in their head, or when you know that something is missing and you can't find one of your sons. What happened in that moment is they decide to go and hide. They decide to go and hide from what has been done, and they decide to go and hide from you. So as you go and I search and I go to find where my boy is, and I might find him behind the couch or up in his room, and I see just that look of shame and guilt. For me, it just pulls on my heartstrings. I don't get angry. In fact, I become overcome with compassion. I say, "What's wrong, buddy? What happened?" And we go together to sort out the mess that has made. And what struck me in the study of the scripture this week was that the lost son wasn't lost. He was hiding. Yes, to the father was as if he was as good as lost. In fact, it may have even been likely that he was dead. But to the son, he was intentionally hiding. He was intentionally hiding from what he had done. He was hiding from his dad. Why? Because he knew what he had done was wrong. He knew what he had done had caused this overwhelming shame and guilt to grip him. No one had to tell him. No, the same way no one has to tell my son when he's done something wrong, the same way no one has to tell me or you that we've done something wrong. And it says that he came to his senses and he figures out a plan. He realizes, you know what? I'm going to strip myself of my title. I'm going to punish myself. I'm going to no longer be a son. I'm going to be a servant. I'm going to change my identity. I'm going to pay the price and I'm going to return as someone else. Still not yet revealing and hiding from who he really is. You see, he had allowed his circumstance and his sin to change his identity. And I really feel to speak to someone today that you have been hiding. You have been hiding in the shade because of your sin. You've allowed the shame and the embarrassment and the guilt to shape your identity, to determine who you are. And you removed the title of son or daughter as the Most High God. And I believe the Lord says that it's time to come out of hiding. It's time to come out of the shade and come into the light. It's time to stop living as a servant or as a slave and to start living as the son and the daughter in which God calls you. It's time to truly be who you are and to stop hiding from what you've done. So we see that the son is hiding and he comes to his senses and he says in verse 18, he says, "I will set out and I'll go back to my father and I'll say to him, 'Father, I sinned against heaven and against you.'" And really we see that this is a picture of repentance. Repentance is to go back. Repentance is to turn around. Repentance is to admit that you're wrong. It is to acknowledge that I need a change in my attitude, my actions, and my sin. It is to change your mind. It is to turn away from what you've done and maybe the wrongdoings you've committed, and it's to turn towards Jesus Christ. And here's a truth to hold on to. Our repentance leads to His forgiveness. It leads to His forgiveness. No matter how far you've gone, No matter how far the road away from God that you may have gone, you are never outside the reach of God. You may think, I've gone too far. I've done it again and again and again. It's been too much. It's been too long. I can't turn back. Not now. And I believe that God says you are never outside the reach of God, and you are never too far, and it's never been too much. For he says, when you come towards me and you repent, he pours out his grace and he gives you his forgiveness. You know, maybe you feel like just like my son, when he's done something wrong and you want to go into hiding. You want to go and hide away from what you've messed up from, what the mistakes that you've made. I want to ask you the question today. Have you been hiding from God? Have you been hiding from him? Maybe, yes, you attend church. Maybe you pray and you read the Bible and you're a good person. But has there been an area of your life that you've been hiding from him? Has there been an area of your life that you just kept to one side? Maybe it's the pain that you experienced as a child. Maybe it's the sin that you committed in your past and you want to just leave it untouched. Maybe you're hiding your finances, your complete trust of God in every area of your life. Maybe it's that person that you're in relationship with right now that you know they're not right for you. And here's something I've discovered. That what I cover, God uncovers. That what I've been hiding, God reveals it and brings it to light. But here's the good news. What I uncover, what I take out of hiding, God covers. He covers it with his love and his grace and his mercy. What do you need to uncover today? What do you need to take out of hiding? What do you need to just let go of and surrender and go all in and trust in God? Because when you finally get to that place where you stop hiding and when you uncover that part of your life, God covers it with his grace and his love and his mercy. You know, why did the son hide? Yes, he sinned. He messed up. He really messed up. He wasted his money. But here's the thing that really stood out for me, that struck me, is that the son spent his future. He squandered his future. He spent his future inheritance, and he squandered it all. And I believe that some of you feel as if you've spent your future, that there's nothing more for you. You had your chance and you spent it. Now you won't have another opportunity. Now you won't have a second chance. Maybe you feel that what you did in the past has disqualified you from your future. Maybe you feel that what others have done to you and the disappointment that you have experienced causes you just to choose to opt out, to give up. Maybe you're just feeling old and outdated, and maybe you feel like your future is behind you. And I want to say to you, I want to prophesy into your life right now that the best is yet to come. Your future has not been squandered. Your future has not been spent, but your better days are ahead of you. What God has ahead of you is greater than what is behind you. The best is yet to come for your life than you have ever seen before. Your future is ahead of you. I want to pray for you right now in this moment. God, I pray for everyone who's hearing my words, hearing this voice. God, I pray that they will right now have a faith that stirs up, a confidence that arises from their spirit to know that the best is ahead of them. The best is yet to come. That maybe the sin that they've committed, the shame that they experienced, the guilt that has gripped them will not allow them to cause them to be held back, but they would experience freedom and forgiveness in their life through Jesus Christ. I want you to know, God is watching out for you. He is waiting for you. And he is calling out to you to come home. He's calling out for you to go back, to turn around, to come to him, to repent and to receive his forgiveness. I want to give you the opportunity right now. Place your faith in Jesus Christ. To know and believe and have faith that my better days are ahead of me. The best is yet to come. So what I want us to do together is pray a very simple prayer. Right now, just close your eyes and bow your heads. Maybe you just want to pray this prayer under your breath and say with me together, say, Jesus, I give you my life. I'm sorry. I repent. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask that you forgive me. And I choose to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, if you made a decision for the very first time, we'd love to connect with you and help you in your next step. And all we'd ask you to do is go to openarms.ie/connect. And there you'll find a very simple form that you can just fill out, tick the box, I'm giving my life to Jesus. And we're going to send you a text or an email this week just to connect with you and invite you to meet you over Zoom and connect with you, hear your story, and hear how we can help you. But also, as we enter into our final song of worship, don't forget our kids' church is on the way. Grab your children, get them ready for a great kids' church that's about to happen. But let me just pray for us as we enter into this worship song. God, I pray for every single person who is deciding to turn around, to go back, to repent. God, I pray that they would feel and experience a flood of forgiveness and freedom like never before. I pray for each of us who feel like that son that we're in hiding. Pray, God, that we would come out of hiding, that we would uncover every area of your life, our lives, and that you would cover it with your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.